Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love and for your word. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart this week, for the conviction that you've given me over sin, and for just the time I got to spend thinking about some of the past, Lord. And I'm just so grateful for the word that you put on my heart. I just pray that you speak clearly through me and that you soften all of our hearts to your word and to what you want us to hear, Lord. God, it's not about me, it's not about we, it's about you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. And it should be, there we go. I have to take my glasses off in order to read it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey my commands of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land of the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. And I forgot to have you guys stand. It's okay. So when I was little, I was in love. Like, really, really, really in love. Not the ooey-gooey romantic kind of love, but a love that was strong and true and solid. I loved my great-grandmother. Her name was Viola Clementine Wilkinson. Jenny is named after her, my little Jennifer Ariel Viola McKay. But I loved her. I called her Little Grandma because she was shorter than my grandma. I call my grandma Gram. You guys probably know that. I say Gram all the time when we're praying or whatnot. But my little grandma was my great grandma, and she took such good care of me. She'd wear these nightgowns, like these old lady nightgowns with the buttons that go all the way down in the pockets. I think they're called muumuus. They're called muumuus, right? And she'd always have tissues in her pockets. And I love that because I always have tissues in my pockets. Because my nose gets cold and runny, and I assume that's why she always had tissues, so. We would cuddle in her lazy boy chair, because she watched me as I was little, right? I did go to school, but on Saturdays and during the week when I was stayed home, we'd watch soap operas and cartoons, and it was awesome. We got to just sit in her chair all day long. I loved it, like Days of Our Lives or One Life to Live, you guys know. I totally contribute my Netflix addiction to my great-grandmother, to my little grandmother. It's her fault. This week, I was just thinking about all the things that I remember about her. One was that she used to run warm baths for me. She had this big bathtub, and she'd run the warm bath, and she'd put the space heater in the bathroom so that it would get warm, and she'd set my clothes out in front of the space heater so that I would be warm, and it would be warm when I got out. I mean, who does that? Who loves like that? Just so my clothes would be warm after my bath? Like, she was my love. I loved her so very much. She took such good care of me. One time I was supposed to be taking a nap, and I was in her big, fluffy bed, and on one wall there's mirrors. Like, the closet doors had mirrors all the way down, so one whole, like, wall was a mirror, and then she had mirrors on her dresser on the other side. And I was just laying there, supposed to be taking my nap, watching her cook. I could see her in the kitchen, and all of a sudden she's like, Melissa, you better go to sleep. I was like, what? Where did that come from? Like, she didn't even know I was sleeping. How did she know that? I still to this day don't know how she knows that, because she doesn't have eyes in the back of her head. It must be like a great-grandmother's sixth sense or something. I don't know, but it shocked me. It was normally just me and her. My great-grandfather had died a couple years previously, and my brother, my baby brother, was with his dad because of the divorce. So it was normally just me and her. My mom worked a lot, so she wasn't around. She did things like watch me walk down the street to school. I know, because I would turn around to see if I could still see her, and she was still there watching me until I disappeared around the corner for the bus stop. Those of you kids that don't know about buses that ride to school, they're these big yellow things, and they don't come with Starbucks before you get to school. She wasn't perfect. I know that she got frustrated with my mom because my mom wasn't around a lot. She was working or doing whatever she was doing. I was little, so I don't know. I just know that it was just always my great-grandmother, my little grandma. She was always with me. But the way she felt about my mom or anything else, it didn't impact the way she treated me. She still loved me. She still cared for me. I was like the apple of her eye, her pride of life, her everything, and she was my everything. I'm telling you, I was totally in love. When they put the hospital bed in the dining room, I knew it was coming because they had done that right before my great-grandfather had died a few years prior. And my mom has a picture of my little grandma laying in the hospital bed, and my brother's like sprawled out over her, giving her a hug, and she's got this homemade beanie on because she didn't have any hair because the cancer had taken it. And I was at a distance, and I remember her looking at me and reaching out for my hand, like she just wanted to hold me. And I turned away, and I refused to cry, and I turned my heart off to love that day. I disconnected myself from love that day because it was hard. It was too hard for such a little girl. My mom took my brother and I to an airplane museum. I think it's Castle Airplane Museum in Atwater. I remember we were gone all day. I was really grumpy because, you know, I was just a little girl. I was always grumpy. And I had these little ballet flats on, and my feet hurt, and I was grumpy because I felt like we should be home because Grandma was so sick. Like, why are we out here trying to have fun when Grandma was really, really sick? It didn't dawn on me until this week. I'm 41 years old. Till this week, what my mom had done that day. When we got home, the house was dark. There was a note on the door saying that they had taken little Grandma to the hospital. My brother and I waited patiently on the couch as my Uncle Bobby came into the house and talked to my mom. And I asked him immediately, is little grandma okay? And he said, yes, honey, she's fine. She's okay. But then my mom, when she came to talk to us, had tears in her eyes. And she clutched my brother, and they were crying about it. And I was sitting at a distance, and she reached out her hand. My mom did. Like, come here. And I refused. I refused to cry. I refused to acknowledge my mom, and I turned my heart off to love that day, too. At the funeral, I sat with Graham, and she was crying. You know, everybody was crying. Everybody was upset. It was a funeral, and I remember her turning and looking at me, and again, like, look, come here. And I just refused to cry, and I refused to look at her, and I just turned my heart off to love. Like the Israelites, my life was about to change forever. I was scared and I was sad. My most significant source of love was gone. What I knew of love was being challenged as I had to learn to live by myself without my beloved great-grandmother. Israel had to turn from everything that they knew and go into an unfamiliar territory without Moses. Like, their whole lives were upside down at this point. It's good. Yes, they're going into the promised land, but what they knew was going to be different, and they wouldn't have Moses. They would either trust God or they wouldn't. they would have to choose to love or not. Moses used his last opportunity to remind the people that following God was a choice. They could choose to live and prosper, or death or destruction. It was up to them. I was in the restroom, I was doing my little girl's hair. Back when they liked bows, you know, like braided their hair, put cute bows in their hair. Now I only have one who's curled up over here that likes bows. The other ones don't want me to touch them. But I was doing their hair and my phone rang. It was my aunt. I immediately got really nervous because my aunt never calls me. And so I thought maybe something had happened to my grandparents. And this was years in between. My great-grandmother, my little grandma, she died when I was in fourth grade. My great-grandfather and stepdad left when I was in first grade. So from first grade loss, and then fourth grade loss, and now all the way up till my late 30s. So when my aunt called, I was really, really scared that something was wrong with my grandparents. But it wasn't them, it was my mom. My aunt told me that unless she made some drastic changes, she was gonna die of liver failure pretty soon. So I thanked my aunt for letting me know, and then I went back to doing the girl's hair, and I got the nudge from the Holy Spirit. You need to get on your knees and you need to pray for your mom. But I chose to look away, I refused to cry, and I turned my heart off to love that day. How can you be open to God if you're closed off to love? I hurt because I refused to grieve the losses and to look at love. As a child, I didn't know what else to do. The sadness was too much for me to take, and I felt like I would lose everything that I had loved eventually, which is why I put a lot of walls up around my heart, because I didn't want to lose my grandparents. I didn't want to lose my mom. It was too hard to lose somebody. But I knew it was wrong when I did it. I might have been little and I didn't know God. I mean, they would talk about God in my house, like, you know, taking his name in vain, or, you know, God's gonna punish you. My mom would say that to me a lot. But we didn't know God. But I knew it was wrong to refuse to cry, to refuse my emotions, to refuse to love the people that were trying to love me. I knew it was wrong, even when I was little. I didn't know how it would impact my life. Honestly, it turned me into a mean and hateful person. It didn't produce fruit that nourished others as God calls us to do. It produced poison like fear, hate, and anger, because hurting people hurt people. After about a week of refusing to pray for my mom, I landed on my knees. Over the next 3 days, God would soften my heart and pour into it an assurance of his love. I would put the kids to bed, I would grab a tissue box, there's over there, and I would cry, like ugly cry. Like I got a pillow for my knees, got on my knees, and cried my eyes out for hours. And I did that for like 3 or 4 days. The Holy Spirit interceded for me. In those moments, I was assured of God's love for me. Did this for 3 days, each night putting the kids to bed and crying for hours. I didn't turn away this time. I embraced love and I opened my heart. Romans 8:26 through 27 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words, and God, who searches hearts, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, but the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to his will, to the will of God." God is not too far from us. It's not too hard for us to say yes to God. In Deuteronomy 30:11 through 14, it says, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea where you should say, 'Who will cross the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouths and is in your heart for you to observe. God's plan for the Israelites was for them to come into this foreign nation and be the people of God. You can't become the people of God, a person of God, unless you open your heart to love and love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your strength and all your might and imagination and everything, the whole scripture, plus then more. For them, they had to be different. And to become the peculiar people of God that he wanted them to be, they had to love. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart." God wanted them to have soft hearts, vulnerable to him so that they could love others. Shortly after they entered the promised land, they did not follow God. They were exiled. Moses knew that they would fail. God knew that they would continue to struggle to be the people of God. That's why he gave them the command to love him and walk in his ways and observe the commandments. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days so that you may live in the land that is the Lord swore to give your ancestors to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The Israelites were not perfect. They were exiled from the land due to their disobedience. God provides the means for the redemption and restoration through the word of the prophets and then through Jesus. So God knew that the people would stray, but he provided a way. In Ezekiel 36, 25 through 28, it says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." I wouldn't say that my heart was completely healed that day, although mostly, but it's an intentional choice every day to love. It's an intentional choice to get up and to experience my emotions, because I pressed them down for so long, it was difficult, you know, feeling them and making sure that I process through them and do what's right. I have to make that choice every day. If you're struggling to choose God, I just want to encourage you to choose him. Don't choose to turn away. Choose life. Choose to say yes to love, because he can do extraordinary things. The biggest thing I received this week, and I don't know how much it goes with Deuteronomy, it was just something that God really placed on my heart that I needed to deal with this week, is that I sinned. I was the one that turned my heart off to God. And my mom, I know some of you have heard me talk about my mom before, but we didn't get along at all. It was non-existent. I just got to the point where I felt like I didn't even have a mom, because I was done fighting, I was done crying, I was done pushing. I just didn't have a mom. That's kind of the way I saw it. So, you know, I was nice to her, then I became a Christian, and when I had my event, I call it, on my knees before God and crying and grieving what I just told you about, like, I was able to forgive her in that, so that was amazing. But this week, God told me that I needed to ask for forgiveness. My mom's been gone for about a year and a half now, so I'm not able to do that. But I had never really considered how much me pushing her away when she was trying to love me impacted her. And so Praise be to God that we can ask Him for forgiveness. We can go to God when we're upset. We can go to God when we don't know what else to do, or when our loved ones have passed, or when our loved ones won't talk to us, or whatever it may be. We can go to God and we can talk to Him about it. We can pray. We can ask for forgiveness. We can just allow the Holy Spirit to come in and minister to us, because He wants to do that. He wants us to have soft hearts that love, and He provides that for us. I don't believe that that's something that we can provide for ourselves. I believe that we make a choice to lean into God and to allow God to make us have soft hearts through the Holy Spirit. I just got off on a tangent. I forget where I'm at now. If you have not come to a place where you trust God with your heart, I want to give you the opportunity to come clean, so to speak, to repent, to ask for forgiveness, to ask Him to mend and heal your broken heart. It's not to say that we don't grieve our losses. Grieving is an important part of life. It tells us that somebody was important to us. So I don't want to say that it's not okay to grieve. I want to say that it's important to grieve, and it's important to allow God to come in and restore your heart, and to comfort your heart, and love on you where He needs to do that. So the worship team is going to come back up and sing a last song. And I just want to give us permission to be free right now. If you want to sit in your seat and maybe think about somebody that you've lost and loved, or if you want to come down to the altar and I can pray for you, whatever you're comfortable with, if you want to stand up and raise your hands and praise God, that's what we want to do right now. Let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your love. I thank You for Your word, Lord God, that comes to us when we need it, and Your heart that loves us so very much, Lord God. I just pray for Your people right now. I pray, Lord God, that You soften their hearts, Lord, and whatever, this message might have just been for me, Lord God, but if some of it was for them, Father, I pray that You put it heavy on their hearts and that they talk to You about it and that they grow closer to You. Father, we love You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.